Welcome to the podcast of Broadway Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky, and the preaching of Pastor Daniel Othman, a biblical church centered on Christ.
45 more verses. Then he said to Korah and all his followers, so he's now going to speak up. Notice there's no defense at this point. Tomorrow morning, the Lord will reveal who belongs to him, who is set apart, and one he will let come near him. He will let the one he chooses come near him. So Moses says, you know what? Tomorrow morning, we're just going to settle this. And I'm not going to settle it. I'm not even going to say anything. We're going to allow the Lord to settle this. He will be the one who decides. And we're going to find out who is set apart. We're going to find out who is allowed to come near the Lord. God will show who he chooses. Korah, you and all your followers are to do this. Take fire pans in tomorrow, place fire in them, and put incense on them before the Lord. Then the man the Lord chooses will be the one who is set apart. It is the Levites, you who have gone too far. Now I want to explain this. Zach, I actually sent you a picture of a fire pan, of what it would look like if you're able to put it up on the screen. A fire pan would be what it looks like. We don't carry fire pans today. It would be like a square shovel, but it has a long, like an 8-foot extension of it. So you're holding this pan that's all the way out there, and you're holding it there, and you would carry your coal, and that would be your incense, and it would be your how to keep the fire before the Lord. And you're presenting, it's a symbol of holiness, and you would carry your fire pan before the Lord. That's what the Levites would do with this. So what's happening is God is telling him right there, you're going to take your fire pan, and we're going to have your fire on. We're all going to present ourselves. We all bring our fire pans. That would be like today, it's us saying we're going to carry our Bible. We're each going to walk up and approach the Lord holding our Bible, and we're going to see which of us holding our Bible, presenting ourselves before the Lord, will the Lord choose. And we all got our Bible. Moses, what he's doing is he's saying, okay, let's get on equal ground. Everybody grab their fire pan. You grab your Bible, and let's just stand there before the Lord, and we're going to make a decision. An example of this, let me give you some example of this. Remember Abel when he presented his offering? How do we know God chose and showed favor with Abel's offering over Cain's? Most likely, you know, Cain brought vegetables, and Abel brought the meat, the first fruits of his animals. God likely, doesn't say this, but probably brought fire down from heaven to show favor with Abel's offering versus Cain did not receive this. Remember when Elijah was on Mount Carmel there with all the priests of Baal? And Elijah, they made two different altars, and Elijah put all this water on top of theirs, and the prophets and the priests of Baal, the false prophets, they're trying all day to get God to bring down fire from heaven. That is showing favor. So that's what this is a picture of. Fire from heaven is favor with the Lord. So we're showing up, we've got our fire pans, and we're just going to stand there. And we're going to see, God, who do you show favor to? I'm holding my fire pan. So if I was Korah, I would be extremely worried at this point. Because you're talking to a man who the Lord used to part the Red Sea. And now here we have a showdown with our fire pan. We're holding a shovel before the Lord the next morning. Something is going to happen. And that's what we're about to see here with that. Listen. Now, don't miss this last. Oh, look, there's a good job, Zach. There's our fire pan with that. It might have been a little bit longer of an extension. You're holding you would put your coals and your incense in there. And a Levi, a priest, would be carrying that pan. So that's what they're going to carry when they present themselves before the Lord. Notice at the very last part of verse 8. Don't miss this, because remember the very first charge that God said to, or that Korah said to Moses. He says, Moses, you've gone too far. You've crossed a line. And then look here what Moses said. Now remember, Moses is from the tribe of Levi. So he's able to say this. Look at latter part of verse 7. Zach, go back to verse 7. Look at that last sentence. Moses says, it is you Levites who have gone too far. Notice the opposite there. Korah says, Moses, you've gone too far. And Moses says, no, you Levites, all you Levites here, you've all gone too far. Like, you, this is a grave mistake that you're about to make. We're presenting our fire pans before the Lord, Levites. This is not what the priesthood is about. I didn't even choose this position. I have no desire for this job. God chose me. That's what Moses is saying. We're going to present our fire pans. So here it comes right here. Moses also said to Korah, now listen, Levites, isn't it enough for you that the God of Israel has separated you from the Israelite community to bring you near to himself? Because remember, Levites are your priests. To bring you near to himself to perform the work of the Lord's tabernacle and to stand before the community to minister to them? Because this is a religious disagreement here. These are all the religious people. They're disagreeing. That's what Moses is saying. You all know is the Lord. He has already set you apart as a Levite. You're the ones who minister before the Lord at the tabernacle. He has brought you near and all your fellow Levites who are with you. But you are pursuing the priesthood as well. So Levites are in the process. They go through this junior priesthood system. This is what the whole book of Leviticus is about becoming a priest. Not all Levites become priests. But Levites are set apart. Some do go to become priests. And that's what they're doing there. So that statement he made in verse 10, he has brought you near, that answers the charge, what they said, that they had, or Korah had originally said to Moses. He says, the Lord is near, is among all of us. And Moses is saying, the Lord's always near you. He's never left. His presence is always with you, Levites. Verse 11. Therefore, it is you and all your followers who have conspired against the Lord. There's the real problem right there. Moses is saying, it's the Lord who you're conspiring against, not against me, because you've disobeyed God. As for Aaron, who is he that you should complain about him? I mean, gosh, probably Moses complains about Aaron. Aaron actually earlier with his sister Miriam rebelled against Moses. This is almost a sibling cut down. Moses is saying, as for Aaron, what has he done? I don't even like the guy either. He's my brother. In fact, him and my sister were leading a rebellion against me. I mean, like, they're trying to throw Aaron into this. And Moses saying, of all the people, Aaron, he's like the least. I mean, he made a golden calf. You know, he was with. He's not very holy to begin with. But you see, Moses is saying, you have conspired this against the Lord, and Aaron couldn't. He had nothing to do with this. But whatever, Korah, you've thrown him in there because that's my brother, and Aaron was the spokesman because Moses didn't want to speak very well. So that's probably a sibling cut down right there. Who is that you should complain about him? Like, he's a dud, basically is what he's saying. Moses sent for Dathan, and these are the other leaders here who are conspiring against them. Moses sent for Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab. But they said, so what happens is Moses is having a one-on-one conversation with Korah, who's a Levite, in the same tribe as him. He's a fellow priest, fellow Levite, junior priest. So he goes and rounds up and says, I want to talk to these other people you've rounded up against me. And their names are Dathan and Abiram. So he sends to them. And their answer is, we will not come. That's the disrespect they're showing to Moses. Moses summoned these two men, and they refused to come talk to him. It is not enough that you brought us up from the land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness. That's their charge against Moses. Do you also have to appoint yourself as a ruler over us? Like, why, they're saying, why should we obey you? Why should we listen to what you want? Do you also have to appoint yourself as a ruler over us? Furthermore, you didn't bring us to a land flowing with milk and honey, or give us an inheritance of the fields and vineyards. Remember, they're still in the desert. They haven't gone to Israel yet. God is punishing from that. Will you gouge out the eyes of these men? We will not come. They're basically saying, these guys are Dathan and Amram. Moses, you told us we were going to this land. We're not there. We're still in the wilderness. I don't believe you. Why should we come to you? What, are you going to gouge my eyes out? What, are you going to kill me? I refuse to go speak to Moses. That's what they said. Well, that didn't go very well. It says in verse 15, then Moses became angry. In the Hebrew, some of your Bibles might say this. This is the only place in the Bible with Moses. The Hebrew word very is there. And some of your Bibles might say the word. It says, and Moses became very angry. That is the only time in the Bible it says Moses became very angry. Because the people he summons to talk to, they refused to even come speak to him. So he became very angry and said to the Lord, don't respect, he's telling God, don't respect their offering. I have not taken one donkey from them or mistreated a single one of them. Moses said, have you done anything to these men? I don't even know their name. Now they're accusing me of this. Lord, just don't respect their offering. I've done nothing to these people. So Moses told Korah, you and all your followers are to appear before the Lord tomorrow. You, they, and Aaron, each of you is to take his fire pan, place incense on it, and present his fire pan before the Lord. 250 fire pans. So it's actually about 254. That's a rounded number there. So 250 liters plus the four other guys there. You and Aaron are to each present a fire pan off as well. So everybody's bringing their fire pan. That would be us. We show up to the Lord and we hold our Bibles out. Say, all the leaders. This would be all the Levites. These would be your deacons, your ministers, all the leaders in the church. Show up before the Lord and say, Lord, here's my Bible. Show us the truth. That's what they're doing. This is a showdown that's occurring right here. And this is a true miraculous event that's going to occur. Each man took his fire pan, placed a fire in it, put incense on it, and stood at the entrance of the tent of meeting along with Moses and Aaron. So everybody's there. They're at the tent of meeting. That's where the Lord meets them. After Korah assembled the whole community against them at the entrance of the tent of meeting, the glory of the Lord appeared to the whole community. So you have Moses and Aaron, these two people, plus 254 over here. So that's who we have. I mean, Moses and Aaron are greatly outnumbered. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, separate yourselves from this community so I may consume them instantly. Notice who the Lord spoke to. He didn't tell Korah that. He told Moses and Aaron, because remember, they're over here. He says, Moses, Aaron, you need to back away. Something's about to happen. You step away from these people because they're leading rebellion. I think the principle for us, when we're around people and they're leading a rebellion, they're leading a crusade, they've gone negative, they've gone off the cuff over there, there's times for us, we have to realize, I need to separate myself from this person. I don't need to be a follower or a Korah. And you have to see, this is a rebellion. Korah is leading something that is not biblical. Moses was not trying to exalt himself. He was actually the humblest man ever to live, a humble man. And now he's being accused of wanting to be in charge. So God's told Moses and Aaron, y'all better back away. Just start stepping back because something is about to happen. So it says here, but Moses and Aaron, look at this. This is what's amazing about this. This just shows you their humility. But Moses and Aaron fell face down and said, God who gives all breath, when one man sins, will you venture a wrath on the whole community? Moses is praying for these people. He doesn't want to see them die. What a humble man. He doesn't want to kill off all these people. He's saying, Lord, it's just Korah. We don't have to kill them all. You know, so he's still, remember his charge. Moses is being charged with, Moses is trying to exalt himself. And every time he gets charges, he just keeps dropping to his knees before the Lord. He's the only man who's falling to his knees in this situation. The other 250, they're proudly holding their fire pan as high as they can, thinking, we're going to win. We've got the numbers. They're thinking, all these leaders, all these people can't be wrong. So Moses still pleading. He's saying, but look what the Lord said. Verse 23, look up here. God answers Moses. And the Lord replied to Moses, tell the community, get away from the dwellings of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. He's like, Moses, just tell them to get away. Just they've got to back up. Everybody needs to separate themselves from these leaders right here. Moses got up and went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. He warned the community, get away now from the tents of these wicked men. Don't touch anything that belongs to them, or you'll be swept away because of all their sins. So they got away from the dwellings of Korah and Dathan. So everybody's moving away. So everybody's scattering off from Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Meanwhile, Dathan and Abiram came out and stood at the entrance of their tents with their wives, children, and infants. So they've got their whole families. They're still proud of what they're doing. They're making their stand. They're holding their fire pan. They even got their babies right there. Then Moses said to them, this is how you will know that the Lord sent me to do all these things and that it was not my own will. It's not Moses' will. If these men die naturally, as all people would, and suffer the fate of all, then the Lord has not sent me. So what they're saying there is if these men, okay, these families, they're holding their fire pan, they got their whole families there. If they die naturally, a natural death would be like a heart attack. They just have a heart attack and fall down the ground, and they have a standard burial. And you can look at them and say, well, they just died. You know, they died of old age. They were getting on up there. So that's what Moses is saying. If they have a natural, notice either way, Moses assumes they're going to die. So we're just going to find out, how will these people die? How they die will actually determine if this is of the Lord or if it's not of the Lord. So if it's a natural death, that means Moses is wrong. But if it's an unnatural death, if something wild happens here, then we know the Lord is behind this. He's the one that affirms Moses' leadership. So verse 30. But if the Lord brings about something unprecedented, and that's what we're about to see, something unprecedented, and the ground opens its mouth and swallows them along with all that belongs to them, so that they go down alive into Sheol. That's hell. That's the word for hell. Then you will know that these men have despised the Lord. So the ground will open up and swallow these people. That's why they had to run away. That's how we're going to know. This is the Lord. The Lord's working. I love this verse. Just as he finished speaking all the words, like the moment that Moses was done speaking, we didn't have to wait. It was immediate. The ground opened beneath them. It split open. The earth opened its mouth and swallowed them and their households. Their whole families died. All Korah's people and all their possessions, their tent, their fire pan, their bags of money, whatever they had, gone. It's gone. They went down alive into Sheol with all that belonged to them. The earth, look at this, it closed back over them, and they vanished from the assembly. They're gone. The earth opens up, the ground falls below them, they all seep in the ground, and there the earth came back. Those people no longer exist. They all, no traces of Korah. This rebellion immediately ceased at that point, just like that. And it says, at their cries, all the people of Israel who were around them fled because they thought the earth may swallow us too. Fire also came out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were presenting the incense. So remember what we have here. We have two different groups. We've got Korah and his families and the other men standing right there. They just got swallowed up by the earth. And these other 250 men, they're standing there holding their fire pans. And then it says, fire from the Lord came, but it didn't consume the fire pan. It consumed them. They became the offering. That meant fire from heaven came and killed those 250 people. those leaders, those people who followed Korah, they died immediately. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, "Tell Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest, to remove the fire pans from the burning debris, because they are holy and scattered the fire far away." Those burning fire pans, those are the 250 ones that all of a sudden they're now laying on the ground because other people just died. They became the offering. And the fire pans just laying there. But those fire pans are holy. That was a holy something for the tent of meeting in the tabernacle. So now God is directing. We've still got some holy equipment right there. Even though those people are gone, we still need to deal with this. So he's giving directions. The Lord's directing what to do with the fire pans. "As for the fire pans of those who sinned at the cost of their own lives, make them into hammered sheets as plating for the altar, for they presented them before the Lord. And the fire pans are holy. They will be a sign to the Israelites." Those fire pans actually went to help build the altar. So, because the people holding the fire pan, they're gone. They just got killed by the Lord. And the Lord is saying, these are special fire pans because we're going to look at that sheet metal and we're going to remember where that sheet metal came from. It came from those 250 people who led the rebellion. What they're saying is this, the fire pans, the metal is almost like it's a monument. It's a cemetery. So you, every time you look at the altar, you will see that fire pan and remember that the Lord is holy and we don't need to rebel against Moses, because there was a man who was holding that fire pan and he got consumed by the Lord. That's what's going on right here. So it's to be a sign. Verse 39, "Then the priest Eleazar took the bronze fire pans, and those who were burned, who had presented, they were hammered into plating for the altar." So they built the altar with them, just as the Lord commanded him through Moses. It was to be a reminder, here's our reminder, for the Israelites, that no unauthorized person outside the lineage of Aaron should approach to offer incense before the Lord and become like Korah and his followers. So there were unauthorized people. They were in the lineage. You had non-Levites holding fire pans, and they obviously were challenging Moses' authority, and they became like Korah. Korah got swallowed up. The other people got consumed by the fire. The next day, the entire Israelite community. Now, you would think, this is what's amazing about this story. You would think fire just came down from heaven. Miss Darlene, it was time change Sunday, so we had to spring forward. So, but there's still five more verses, Miss Darlene. Numbers chapter 16. This is the 50 verses. It just keeps on going. These folks have gone through a long story. Numbers chapter 16. We are in verse 41. Now, you would think if fire came down from heaven, Korah just got swallowed up by earth. You would think the Israelite community would think, my goodness, the Lord has appointed Moses. He is the one. But they don't. And that's what's sad about this. This is what sin does to us. You know, when we are affirmed by the Lord and we witness the Lord, a lot of times a week later, 2 weeks later, we're doing the same old stuff again. We just go back to it. And part of growing spiritually, I believe, is realizing, Lord, I'm not going to go back to that. You find someone who's been in debt, they don't want to be in debt anymore. You find someone that has nearly lost their marriage or has gone through a divorce, they don't want to lose their marriage and go through a divorce again. You find someone that has had maybe one rebellious child, they don't want their second and third child to be rebellious because they've experienced that pain. They know this is hard. When you go through something, you would think, I want to learn from my mistakes. Life teaches us best. But the Israelites here, they did not learn. It says in verse 41, "The next day, the Israelite community complained about Moses and Aaron, saying, you have killed the Lord's people." So now Moses, the one who was on his knees, pleading face down before the Lord, saying, God, don't kill these people. Now he's getting charged, Moses, with murder. When the community assembled against them, Moses and Aaron turned toward the tent of meeting. And suddenly the cloud covered it, and the Lord's glory appeared. Moses, you would think after the first, okay, Korah got swallowed up by earth. The 250 rebels got consumed by fire. We took their fire pans and stuck it on the altar as a meeting. The next morning, now all the people are accusing Moses of murder. He's like, I can't get anything right. This is awful. Moses is thinking, now the Lord is just going to appear to Moses. He does. He appears to the tent of meeting. That's the tent of meeting is the portable tabernacle that we're moving around in the desert. Moses and Aaron went to the front of the tent of meeting. And the Lord said to Moses, now at this point, Lord's about to just, he's really angry. Get away from this community so that I may consume them instantly. I mean, he's saying, you know, there's a million plus people here, Moses. I think we're going to just take them all out. Like, they're still complaining. They're not reject. God is saying, Moses, these people haven't rejected you. They're rejecting me. That's who they're rejecting. And ultimately, that's what a rebellion is all about. A rebellion isn't really about Moses. It's not about Aaron. It's about people who reject the Lord. That is what we see right here. This was a sin by Korah, and it was one that just spread to other people, and they did not want the Lord as their leader because God was directing Moses. All Moses is doing is pleading for everybody's life. He doesn't want anyone to die. So here's what we do. It says, get away from this community so that I may consume them instantly. But they fell face down. Who is they right there? That's Moses and Aaron. Two people now. Previously, just Moses had been falling face down. Now, at this point, Aaron's thinking, maybe I need to drop to my knees as well, because now everyone's about to die. Moses and Aaron, this is the third time in this story Moses has fallen face down. The first time he fell face down was when Korah first rose up against him. Second time he fell face down was when God wanted to kill all 254 people. And Moses said, let's not kill that many. I'm going to fall face down. Let's just kill one. Let's just kill one person. Now God's ready to kill all the people. And Moses and Aaron have fallen face down. So you see, Moses is truly a humble man. His accusation is he's the one who's exalting himself. And it says, they fall face down. But Moses told Aaron, take your fire pan, place a fire from it in the altar in it, and add incense. Go quickly, like we've got to somehow grab your fire pan, and we're going to try to save the people. Go quickly to the community and make atonement for them, because wrath has come from the Lord. The plague has begun. So a plague has started, and the people are about to die. God is about to kill all the people. So Aaron took his fire pan, as Moses had ordered, ran into the middle of the assembly, and saw that the plague had begun among the people. The plague is just people falling down dead. They're just dying. All of a sudden, they're just falling dead. After he added incense, he made atonement for the people. So Aaron is offering this atonement. He stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was halted. So somehow, this is very similar. This is actually, what's amazing about this story, this is setting up for the temple. Remember, why is the temple located where it's at? It's because of what King David did. Right now, it's located on the temple on the mount there in Jerusalem, the dome on the rock, the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. The reason it has to be located there is because David did a census in the book of 1 Chronicles, and God told him that was wrong. He should not have done a census. And the reason he did a census is because he was very prideful and he had really built up Israel and thought, you know, I need to go count my people. I wonder how big my army is. I wonder how many people I have. And God was going to go and wipe all the people, wipe out the kingdom, and says, I'm going to reduce your numbers, David, because of your pride. Thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people about to die. So what happened at that very location on the Temple Mount, David had purchased that field. That was before, it was a big dome on the rock. It was a field. It was the highest point in Jerusalem. And he had purchased it, and he stood before the Lord and asked the Lord to stop. He pleaded for God right there. At that point, the Lord stopped killing people because of David's senses, because of his pride to see how great he was. That's exactly what's going on. Moses told Aaron, you grab your fire pan, because apparently there's this, you could just watch the people and they were falling down dead. You just see, like, it was like the death of the firstborn child, the 10th plague. And then they're falling dead. Aaron's got his fire pan, and he stands there where the line is. He runs up to where the death line is. He stops right there, and presents his offering, and then the plague stops. What we see a picture here is actually setting up exactly where the temple is going to be located with David, what Aaron is doing. He's stopping the Lord from killing the people. He stood between the dead and the living. That's what it means in verse 48. And the plague was halted. But those who died from the plague numbered. There was a great loss from this. 14,700 people. In addition to those who died because of the Korah incident. So there's two different incidents that occur here. Korah lost 254 people plus their families. They were swallowed by earth plus fire from heaven consumed them. Then the people the next day complained to Moses because they accused Moses of murder. Said, Moses, why did you murder all these people? We knew these folks. And then the Lord had enough, and he was killing them off. 14,700. Aaron then returned to Moses at the entrance to the tent of meeting, since the plague had been halted. There we go. That was an interesting ending, but what else do you say? The Lord killed 14,700 people. So a grand total of probably close to 15,000 people died in this incident. And I think the biblical principles for us, what we want to take away, we need to understand rebellion is always rooted in sin. Remember why, and we won't turn there, if you ever want to read about Satan's rebellion, it comes out of Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28. The devil, named Lucifer, rebelled against the Lord. Rebellion is actually rooted in the devil. And that's what we see here. So the spirit of Korah is rejecting the Lord. God had appointed Moses, and Korah's coming along saying, no, we are holy too. So we have to make sure that it's not just in church we're talking about. We're talking about throughout life. We don't want to find ourselves identifying with rebels. Rebellion is wrong. We follow the Lord. We follow the Lord's leadership. We follow the Lord's guidance in how to make decisions and what to do and how to live our life. And also the next thing, when we see here what occurred after the Lord judged these 254 people, they went back and started complaining and started charging Moses with murder. And those people died for that. We shouldn't go falsely accuse people when we have no idea. It was all of these people here died. Moses didn't kill a single one. Aaron didn't kill anybody. In fact, they kept falling face down and they saved the people. It was the Lord who killed these people. God hates rebellion. And we have to make sure in our life, in our spiritual life, in our church life, our family life, that there's rebellion all around. Now, I want to illustrate what rebellion looks like. Do you have family members who are on drugs? That's rebellion. That's rebellion. Instead of trusting in the Lord, you have found yourself becoming addicted to a substance. Now, it is addiction, and it's hard to break. But it's rooted ultimately in rebellion against the Lord. Because at some point, someone had to make a decision. I'm going to start taking or trying and get involved in this. And we have to make sure in our spiritual life that, say, Lord, search my heart. Do I have a rebellious spirit? And if it is, I need to ask for forgiveness and I need to repent. And when other people are participating in rebellion, I'm not going to be a part of a Korah rebellion. All right, we're going to have our invitation. You just heard a 50-minute sermon. 50 minutes. So that, 50 verses as well. We're going to stand up. David's going to lead us in a song. You can make a decision. here on Sunday nights. A great time to respond to the Lord. I stand down front. Betty's on the organ. We're going to respond to the Lord this evening.
Yeah, we're going to sing.